try to sit upright so that you feel supported, not uncomfortable, just supported, right? And then see if you can just bring your attention to the bottoms of your feet. Can you feel that they're in contact with the floor? You don't have to answer, just kind of acknowledge. They're in contact with the floor. Maybe you can feel if it feels different in your heel versus in your toes. There might be difference, there might not be. Maybe you can put some pressure on your toes and feel some difference. Don't hurt yourself. Just notice that there's some differences in your feet on the floor. Can you feel that? Now bring your awareness up your leg, kind of to your calf and shin area. Can you do something to kind of feel something in your calves without hurting yourself? Maybe one or the other. And just notice, are you feeling pain anywhere? Maybe now you can bring your attention up to your thighs, your upper leg. Do you feel contact with the chair? Maybe on the bottom, maybe on the sides. Maybe there's like temperature differences on the top versus the bottom. Can you move around, wiggle around and feel differences in your hips maybe? So you can do this all the way up, you know, to your neck, down your arms, to your head, and just like notice. I know you don't have like this set amount of time, right? But maybe if you get, you know, at your first sense of anxiety, you can do the feet. Just notice the feet, you know? And then the purpose of this is grounding. So you're noticing body sensations that are here and now. And if you can pay attention to the body sensations that are here and now, your mind won't be paying attention to the thoughts and the anxiety and the emotions and the fear.
Welcome back, everyone, to part two of the Occupation of Managing Anxiety. My name is Amy.
And my name is Anna. This is the second part of our interview with Reina Puentes, where we discuss strategies to understand and deal with the anxiety that comes with test taking and everyday life.
We hope this is beneficial to you guys just as much as it was for us. For those of you getting ready for the test, we are thinking of you.
And we would love to hear from you. If you want to send us a picture of you studying or getting ready for the test or just any regular old picture of you and let us know that you're studying for the test or when your test date is, we would love, love, love to share that with our OT community and have people show you the support that you deserve and remind you that you are a badass bitch.
If you need practice with this for our listeners, Headspace is now on Spotify and it's like 3 or 4 minutes of, you know, quote unquote meditation, but it's this grounding thing. I'm realizing now that you're going through it with us, like it's exactly that. Like he, in a very calm voice, much like yours, tells you to bring attention to, you know, the air going in and out of your nostrils, like, you know, where, you know, on your body are you feeling the pressure of your weight and like that kind of thing. And so if you need practice, I think that's a good route to go.
That's super helpful, Amy, because even just now when you were telling us like, oh, feel this and this, I'm like, I don't think that I could come up with any of that. I'd be like, I feel feet.
So I will say, I feel so relaxed now.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't even know how long that was. I get anxious when I lead it because as a listener, you know, you're listening for the next instruction and it's really weird to spend time just paying attention to your feet. You're like, all right, move on. All right, what's next?
Yeah.
Like what else? But no, that's really it. Like, yeah, it does help if you have some time from now until your test day to get acquainted with some of what these guided meditations or guided body scan, if you want to look it up in YouTube or things like that. And you can even do it like, I do it when I'm sleeping, like when I'm trying to get to sleep. This is another great yes. one. Or if you're having trouble sleeping, put the phone down. That's not going to help. Lay there and do a guided body scan from the bottom of your toes all the way to the tippy top of your head. And I
bet you won't get it past your core. Like, it's powerful stuff to just yes. notice.
Yeah, we got taught a similar, I mean, I think it's kind of similar. I don't know, Anna, your take on it, but progressive muscle relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
I do that when I'm trying to fall asleep and I can't at 2 a.m. and it helps. Yeah.
So do they ask you to like clench a little and then relax?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So I was going to recommend for you, Amy, like when you get that restlessness, you know, and you feel like anxiety because of the sitting, you know, if there's a way for you to do like some, you know, like leg exercises or some, even just some muscle contractions that can help stimulate, you know, that blood flow in those areas might help.
Are there any other tips that you wanted to share about during test taking?
I don't know if they'll do this. You said that you, in part of the test, you can't go back, right?
Yeah.
Or is that in all the tests?
No, that's just like the first part of it.
Okay. So for the second part where you can go back, I don't know if it's similar to how it was for me, but if you're like an organized person and you worry about the ones that you leave unanswered or that you're unsure about, they typically give you like one laminated piece of paper and like a special pen to write mm-hmm. with, make some notes on. And so what I did, this is just purely anecdotal, was I wrote down every single one that I was like unsure about. And then in the moment, I wrote, like if I had an idea, like if it wasn't C, in that moment, I just wrote ABD next to number 17. And then, you know, moved on. You know, I gave it a chance, did what I could, moved on. There was this rumor or something that in our test, like some of the questions later might give you like an error or a whiff to what, you know, a past question might say. So don't get too hooked on it. Give it your best shot at that moment, write it down and move on. And then at the end, you might feel more inclined to make a better decision when you come back and look at it a second time. So don't beat yourself up, but beat yourself up over that if there's more of those than you think. Because that's what they're meant to do. They're meant to get you. You're not meant to go into this as a master, right? And so I think that's another thing is be gentle to your brain. Be nice to yourself. Like this test is meant to get people, you know? And so that expectation's there. You're gonna go and do what you can and what you know. And that's what you're there for. You're not there to be a master or to ace it.
Mm-hmm.
Just be gentle with yourself and your expectations as you're walking in.
Are there any personally like words of affirmation that you use with yourself that you find helpful?
So personally, I find those really cheesy.
Okay.
Just because.
I know everyone's different with them.
Yeah. Just because I don't know, you know, when I give affirmation a lot genuinely through my work. And I think that's a different sense of the word affirmation that I use. Mm-hmm. But what I will do is, you know, can I swear on here?
Yeah. You know?
So words of affirmation, no, but I do remind myself that I'm a badass bitch. Like I really do, because not a lot of people get to where we are. And we, I'm talking to us, you know, like, you know, higher education, women, of color in this horrible world, you know? So instead of like a word of affirmation that's helping me up to something that I don't know if I can really believe, like I do believe I'm a badass bitch and I believe y'all are badass bitches because you haven't, you know, given up, like you're here and you're still trying and you're not just doing that, but you're not just surviving, but you're thriving. You're doing amazing things. Like you are giving to a community with nothing in return. You're devoting your career to, you know, this career that it's giving and giving and not a lot of getting back, you know, and to do that, you got to be a special person, you know, and that within you already gives you so much just, you know, like power, you know, like honor your body and your brain and the space that you take up when you're sitting at that desk, when you're brushing your teeth in the morning, like honor this vehicle that's brought you this far. Like you've gone through so many things, you know, and you will go through so many things. You gain confidence by, you know, testing yourself and then doing well. And you all survived. Like, you survived your first day of field work, you survived your first day of masters, you survived, you know, a lot of stuff. And so just remember that you have so much already. And that's the kind of affirmation I give. It's like disgustingly empowering.
You're gonna make me cry.
That's gonna be my Raina thinks I'm a badass bitch. Yeah, I can do this.
I mean, if you hear something better, I would feel free to share. But I mean, it's gotten me through some pretty tough days. And also, you know, that humble remembering that we're still learning, you know, like we're still learning.
You kind of touched on like being gentle to yourself. And I think in the past couple of episodes that we've done, Anna and I, about field work, we've kind of mentioned it, you know, be gentle to yourself, be nice to yourself, like don't be so hard on yourself. But what are like maybe some tips that we could use to do that?
You've heard me say this already a bunch, but acknowledge when that brain is showing up and that voice is showing up. Give it a name, a silly name. Name it Karen or whatever. No offense to any Karens out there. you know, but this relationship with laughing about it, like that's the kind of relationship you want to build with that voice, you know? And invite her to the table, have her sit down next to you at the test, like, you know, and that's how I be gentle to yourself and, you know, take off the pressure that you have to be perfect, that this is gonna go only one way, that you're human, you know. Gentle reminder that you're human. And like, I don't know, it's like people are proud of you, you know. Like, I think one of the good things about you guys and maybe like your friend group is that you have this mutual support. And even if Amy doesn't believe in Amy, Anna believes in Amy, and Raina believes in Amy, you know, and I know you have like other friends too that are kind of in this with you. And so this mutual support, come back to them. Like, they've been with you through all of this. They've told you at some point that you're good at this. If you don't believe it from you, believe it from them, because you'll believe it from them. Also, be gentle to yourself in the way that you'd be gentle to them. You know, like hold yourself as if you would hold crying Anna. You know, talk to yourself as if you would talk to crying Amy. And that's as pure as you can get. Like, that's who you care about, right? Like, someone that you can feel that's in a tough spot. So talk to yourself the way that you would talk to her or to your younger self. That's another good way to be gentle with yourself. So like, think about 10-year-old Anna. What was 10-year-old Anna doing? What would 10-year-old Anna tell 24-year-old?
26.
26-year-old Anna. You know, like what would you, 26-year-old Anna, tell 10-year-old Anna? Mm-hmm. Probably something like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be tough, but you'll be fine. You'll make some good friends. You'll make some not so good friends. You'll make some good decisions. You'll make some not good decisions, but you'll be fine. All of that that I just told 10-year-old Anna applies now to 26-year-old Anna.
Interesting when you're talking about, you know, how you talk to your friends and stuff like that. There's been so many times that I have to remind myself, like, and I don't know why this is, but I have to literally tell myself, my friends aren't going to hate me if I fail this test. I don't know why. Like, there's something in me that I'm like, I don't want to let people down, as though Amy is going to be like, we can't be friends anymore. You're a failure. Like, and I don't, it's so weird. Cause if I really think about it, I'm like, if anything, my friends would gather around me and like help me through it. And mm-hmm. So
your anxiety mind, whatever you want to call her, is telling you your friends are going to hate you. Your parents are going to hate you. You're going to be nothing to no one. But if you just acknowledge like, okay, calm down. Let's kick in with rational mind. This is rational mind. So rational mind is what I tell my clients. Rational mind is the one that talks to Raina in therapy, right? So check in with this mind that you just acknowledge that. This mind is going to say, no, anxiety mind, you're wrong. I know that Amy's gonna love me no matter what. My parents are supportive no matter what. They've been through me. They've probably already told me that they're gonna be here for me no matter what, right? And so check in with that evidence.
I think that's hitting the nail on the head, because I think obviously we all study with the mindset of passing it on the first time, but you know, unfortunately that doesn't always happen for everyone. And I think we get really freaked out by that. And I don't know if it's the culture of the academic side of it, at least, where, you know, I mean, speaking from personal experience, where, you know, classmates are very conscious about their grades and how well they're doing academically, you know, and kind of carrying that through to the test, where it's like, oh, well, if I fail, it's going to be embarrassing. It's going to be shameful, you know, and at the end of the day, whoever hires you for your first job isn't going to ask you, did you pass your test on the first try? Like, no one's going to ever ask you that. Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter as long as you pass it. And I think that that's something that I've kept reminding myself, especially we're 2 weeks out from our test, and I'm going to be honest, I'm definitely scared of failing it, you know, but at the same time, I like talk myself down from it. And I tell myself, you know, at the end of the day, like if I pass it on my second or third try, I passed it, you know, and that's what matters. And the biggest thing isn't that my family's going to reject me or that my friends are going to reject me. It's that I'm going to be out $500 and that sucks. But, you know, like if that's like the biggest inconvenience to me, then, you know, that's okay.
Right. And so if that's what's driving your fear and anxiety, then you can acknowledge that, like, okay, $500, calm down. Like, you know, so that belief and like that possibility that there is success in the future, for sure. I mean, hold on to it at the beginning and throughout. There's this thing where the more that you invest in a project or in a task, it's directly correlated with how like impactful the failure is, right? So the more that you invest in a project, the more that you'll feel the heaviness if you failed. So no shit, like it's gonna hurt, but it's very much a reality, and it's not gonna hurt any more than probably other things that have hurt you before that you've endured. The takeaway is, and it's gonna be very cheesy, but it like, if you didn't learn anything from it, that's when you're really losing, right? If you don't grow substance from that failure, like that's where you grow resilience, right? Like you fall down 7 times, you stand up 8. That's resilience, right? I mean, that's really where it grows, cheesy or not, but like, you know, if you can be willing to continue invest in that project, even after you failed it, like you can get through this.
I'm seeing like a balance of all these moving parts kind of like coming together, where it's like, okay, all the negative talk and all the positive talk and, you know, telling myself nice things, and I don't know. It's coming together for me right now. I'm having a moment.
Yeah, same. I became super aware of the fact just now that like I have way more negative talk than I have positive talk on a like on my daily study, like my daily studies routine. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is definitely an episode that needed to happen exactly right now, because the next weeks are going to be hard, and I'm going to use all of this.
Your other homework for the next 2 weeks is to collect positive experiences over the next 2 weeks and really mindfully acknowledge them as evidence that you are a good human and you have value and worth beyond this test.
And I really feel like crying.
I mean, all that negative self-talk, it only makes you feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really does. And that's just how unhelpful our brains are. It kind of robs you of the opportunity to take on like growth and feedback and use these 2 weeks to like, you know, not make you feel worse. So it's tough. Our brains are sometimes not very helpful, but you have a say with the mindfulness and like the acknowledging. You have a say in what your body does based on the thoughts and emotions.
So, do you have anything else that you want to share with the class?
Yeah, I guess just my biggest takeaway is be gentle to yourself the next 2 weeks or the time that you have from now until you take the test. Now is the time to be hard on yourself, you know, build yourself up these 2 weeks versus break yourself down. Acknowledge in a safe place where things are coming from and use your mutual supports. I would just say use these next 2 weeks to really like build your confidence in other things aside from this test too. Like allow yourself some time to focus on other things that you can feel masterful at that are fulfilling, you know, and save those as positive experiences to fuel you through when times get rough, because they will. But that's okay. Like that's okay. They're meant to. And going in prepared with that kind of mentality is much more than better than being scared of what's to come. So
this is great stuff. I like it. I feel like this is also things that translate to just everyday life. So I'm really glad that we did this episode. And I know like in school, we talk a lot about like our toolbox. And I feel like this is a big, big instrument in our toolbox, big tool.
I was going to say, I think that this is helpful really for anyone that has something coming up that's really big, any kind of a test of life, if you will. God, that was so cheesy, but seriously, all this stuff is kind of good to use in those situations. I mean, I guess really just, I guess say nice things to yourself at all times for the rest of your life, even if you don't have a test coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yourself. It's a tough world out there. Why would you be tough on yourself when the world's already tough enough?
Facts. Mm-hmm. I know we brought that up with our last episode because we had just finished our prep course, and the instructor of that prep course kept telling us like, be nice to yourself, say things that you would tell, like you wouldn't tell your clients like, oh, you did really bad today, and you know, let me highlight all these like bad things that you didn't do well enough. You know, you would never tell your client that, so why would you tell yourself that, you know, which I think was echoed in this episode, which I'm excited.
And if you can do it for yourself, go to your friends, like go to your, like what would Amy say, or text each other and say, hey, amp me up right now, hype me up, call me a badass bitch.
Expect that text February 1st in the morning, Anna. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's wrap this up the way we always wrap up our interviews. Raina, do you remember what an occupation is?
Anything that you do, that you spend time doing?
Yes! Okay. What is your favorite occupation right now, Raina?
Being a plant mom.
Love it. Anna's big into plants too.
I'm really into plants.
Yeah, my 89-year-old grandma, that's like the one thing she looks forward to. So I'm like, if plants bring her happiness at 89, that's all I need. I don't need a man, I need plants.
Love it. Anna, do you have a favorite occupation?
Mm-hmm. I say this like all the time, but spending time with my dog. I was studying downstairs because it kind of helped me when my dad would be like working from his office and my mom was around to not get distracted. I had them kind of holding me accountable, but then they started getting really distracting and my dad started bringing me files to organize for him. So then I went back upstairs, but Juno's not allowed upstairs. And so now when I get stressed or I'm like, I can't do this anymore, I just go back downstairs and she's always super excited to see me. And I just pet her, and now I'm gonna be mindful in those moments, and I'm gonna think Juno thinks I'm a good person. So
yes, that's truly the only validation anyone needs.
Yeah, seriously though. my mom, who has never ever in her entire life been a dog person, she despises dogs. She thinks they're messy and they drool everywhere and their hair gets everywhere. I told her the other day, because she gave Juno a piece of prosciutto. I was like, okay. But I was like, she's turning me into a dog person. And my mom goes, I'm not a dog person, but I am a Juno person.
So, the cutest.
Everyone needs Juno validation. Amy, favorite occupation?
It's not as nice as yours, but my favorite occupation right now is the love affair that I have with the Peloton at work. I've been getting on the Peloton like at least 3 times a week for the past like month, and it makes me so happy and it makes me feel so good afterwards, and I just really want a Peloton. So I'm in love with a Peloton. Honestly, though, I almost cried several times during that.
The first time that she said, "You're worth more than this test," I was like, am I really?
How true is all of that stuff, though, like, just with daily life? I need to start practicing all of that just more, I think.
I don't know why, and I was going to bring this up, but I felt like I was starting to be all like, I don't know why my brain works like this, help me. But I don't know why, but sometimes if I'm doing something and I feel my anxiety creeping up, I, instead of like leaning into it and being like, yeah, I'm anxious, I try and like be like, no, I'm not, I'm fine. And I think it's because I feel like it's going to take me a long time to deal with it. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of time. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like if I would just be like, yes, I am, and then I moved on, it would take less time. But
yeah. I think I've recently found myself using all of my other OT skills/tools in trying to like deal with my anxiety, like the coffee thing. I stopped drinking coffee like 3 weeks ago because I noticed that I was getting like really anxious, and to the point where like I have a very like visceral anxiety thing where, you know, my body reacts to it before my brain does. And so that's how I know that I'm anxious. And I realized that it was happening a lot with the coffee. So I stopped drinking coffee. I bought a weighted blanket. I've been sleeping with a weighted blanket like the past 3 weeks. And, you know, I'm doing like all these like other things, like getting up and stretching, you know, getting that proprioceptive input, like all these other things that I like, I know that are supposed to help with my anxiety, but I'm not really dealing with that anxiety. And I think that this episode is going to be very huge and monumental about how I approach that going forward.
I think it's so interesting that you and I kind of, our anxieties are almost opposite. Like, I get anxiety in the study process and you get anxiety during the test, and my anxiety is like so much in my head and like constant, like a constant loop of words, and yours is all body. Like, I don't, it's just weird.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you think were the biggest takeaways from that interview?
I think definitely being mindful and practicing that in the little moments, that's going to be a huge thing for me. And then just that self-talk through things. Also, the personalizing anxiety, I think that's genius. Like giving it, like she even said, like picture it next to you, like give it a face, give it a name, and like face it, actually look at it and say, okay, I don't have time for you right now. I'm going to go focus on this because I can do this. That's another pretty big one, I feel like.
Yeah, and that's something that you also have control over too. Like, you don't have to personalize it as this big scary monster that is going to swallow you in one, you know, one bite. It can be something small, something that you know that you can overcome, because you can, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to, you know, keep in mind what she said, you know, all those things that we thought were like really hard and we thought were really scary, like we've endured them. We've gone past them, you know, we've done it and we're going to keep doing it. So I think that's super, super, super important to keep in mind.
And I was going to, afterwards, when we started on our tangent with her, I was going to mention something that we talked about and we discussed was the idea of how you view your stress. And so we watched a video while we were in OT school about how the way that you view your stress affects your body more than the stress itself. And so the idea is that if you understand, then you tell yourself logically, yeah, my heart's racing and my palms are sweaty, that's because I have a challenge ahead of me and my body's trying to prepare me to face on this challenge. That's going to help you understand that your body's doing it for a reason and it's not negative. It's not a bad thing that your body's responding to it. That's the natural thing that it's supposed to do. I've found that that's been really helpful for me to dealing in those kinds of situations, is reminding myself like this is completely natural. And if anything, I have more blood pumping, my brain's sharper, I'm paying more attention because I am having those physiological changes in my body. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So that's just another tidbit that I kind of wanted to share with the listeners so that y'all could have that in mind as well. I don't know. There's so many different methods that you can approach this. And I feel like sometimes some things I'm like, ah, that doesn't really click with me. And then some things I'm like, that's exactly the one. So if we can share as much as possible, I think that that's a good way to go about it.
No, definitely. And I think that kind of going off of that, it's a cue. Your body is giving you a cue that you are in this anxious state. And I've personally been using it as, okay, like I'm feeling, when I feel like that pressure in my chest and I feel like my heart's racing, but it shouldn't be because I know that I'm sitting and I'm like, I'm at rest, but I feel like I've just ran a mile. I know that that's like my cue. Okay, you need to step away from studying. You need to go and do something physical, tire yourself out, do something, or, you know, get under the weighted blanket, like do something to like remove myself from that space. And I think that I take that very much as like removing myself from that physical space. But I think after this episode, I think I'm going to start practicing removing myself mentally from that space, because that's something that you can do during the test, is removing yourself and grounding yourself and using all those techniques.
Even visualization, thinking, okay, I'm in this room, and like Raina was saying, it's really stressful because you don't know this room and you feel unfamiliar in your environment and you're feeling that stress. Maybe picture the space that you actually studied in.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of even going on that, you know, I kind of mentioned leaning towards that anxiety. If you are feeling a lot of that stress during the test, I know it's so hard to stop because you're like, I have this set amount of time and I have to take this test. But like taking that moment and leaning into it. And if you need to visualize, you can visualize. If you need to be mindful, if you need to do progressive relaxation, it's worth it to take the moment, because otherwise you're half in and half out in the test and that's not going to help you.
Yeah, I really like this episode.
I do too. I think it personally is very meaningful to me.
Yeah.
This episode. I'm like, this is something I mean, this is getting a little personal, but like I struggle with anxiety all the time, and it's so interesting because in OT, we talk about mental health on so many different levels. And when I was in my field works, I had to take a role of helping people with their mental health. And I know strategies, I know stuff like that, but like, it's always different when it's for yourself, taking your own advice and applying it to yourself. It's kind of like, I could definitely say that to my patient and think it through in a clinical way towards my patient. But towards myself, I'm like, I don't know. Guess my brain's broken. Can't do anything.
Yes.
Can't solve it.
Please follow us, rate us, and subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening on. You can follow us on Instagram at Occupation Station Pod.
You can email us on Gmail at it's occupationstationpod@gmail.com.
Please email us, anyone.
Please. If you email me, I will send you an autographed picture of Juno.
Ooh, I'm going to email us.
So, yeah, hurry up before Amy does and get your autographed picture of Juno. And now people are going to email us for sure, and I'm going to have to do that. Yeah. I think that's all. Facebook? We also have a Facebook page. It's just Occupation Station Podcast. And yeah, and
also find us on otpodcasts.com, and you will find a lot of other great OT podcasts to help you with your setting, help you get ready for field work, help you explore different settings. Definitely check otpodcasts.com. Okay, bye.
Bye.